Hello, and welcome to another edition of No Lights Paranormal, where three nerdy paranormal investigators sit down and discuss spooky stories from the web. My name is Joe. I am the lead investigator.
My name is Teresa, and I am the research extraordinaire.
Okay.
I'm Alex. I'm the Bobby Yaga enthusiast and the equipment setter upper.
And the thrown off a gamer.
I'm extraordinaire.
So, forgive us this episode. It is finally beautiful in Ohio, so we are set up on the porch. If you hear a loud motorcycle or something go by, I wholeheartedly apologize for that. But it is so beautiful, we're just going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, it's too nice to be inside the house.
Yeah.
No.
To be fair, like, the way this podcast came about, though, is that we were talking about, like, our porch discussion.
And this is really what it is, and yeah.
Go figure, we're on the porch now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're about to get in some shit.
That said, this is usually the podcast where we talk about spooky stories from around the web. But given the week that it is and what we are prepping for, we decided to go sideways on this episode a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get back into the States the following week, but this week is just worried.
I am still going to do some of the stuff we always do, but talking a little bit about the history and all that good stuff, but it will be very, very pointed.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because you had that look in your face, like, talking about the history and all that boring stuff.
The moral of the story is, in case you live under a rock, or don't listen to our podcast every week, which seems like more and more of you are doing.
Yeah, a shame on you.
No, not a shame on you. More and more of you seem like you're doing it, yeah. So thank you. But that said, we are going to Waverly Hills in 2 days.
2 days.
Basically a day and a half.
Yeah, true. So a couple of things that I want to mention. I do not know how long we will have her, but I actually wanted to mention the dog. We have got a dog that was dropped off on our porch, and if anyone who listens is in the Akron area, she is a brown and tan long-haired chihuahua, and she was wearing a blue collar, and she was wearing a blue collar when they picked her up.
Oh.
They found her near Arlington by the Home Depot area, so if anybody knows anybody who is missing pretty cute young chihuahua dog, please let me know, because we would love to find her people. She's sweet. I love her, but she misses her daddy, whoever that is, and it's clear that it's a daddy because she's sticking to these boys like glue.
Yeah, the dog is currently in which I'm not used to, but anyways,
sleeping nonetheless.
Yeah. So if you hear a loud snore, it's from the dog.
I also want to go over paranormal events for April.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and lead with that then.
So it appears that Mr. Dustin Perry, who you will all know from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International, is actually doing several shows during the month of April, the 17th, the 21st, 25th, and 26th, at various locations. His presentation is called Ghosts, Do You Believe?
Yes.
Exactly. On the 17th, he will be at the Southern Theater in Columbus. On the 21st, he'll be at the Taft Theater in Cincinnati. On the 25th, he'll be at the Kent Stage in Kent, Ohio. And he'll be at the Victoria Theater in Dayton on the 26th. Lake Erie Parafest is coming up Saturday, April 27th, at the Merry-Go-Round Museum in Sandusky. They're having the Fairfield County Infirmary Paranormal Investigation that is open to the public in Lancaster at the Fairfield County Infirmary.
Just season for that again.
It is. Let's see here. There are the 20th, April 20th, there was a public hunt at the Madison Seminary. It has officially sold out. Yeah. So you... Yes, agreed. Wholeheartedly.
Do go follow their Facebook page, though, because they do a lot of public hunts on weekends.
They do.
Season rolls around.
They do. And
those people are phenomenal. So
we have been. We will be again. Good people.
Yep.
Now, I know this is just a tidbit out of Ohio, but it's not far. At the Blennerhassett Hotel in Parkersburg, West Virginia, on Friday, April 19th is the Appalachian, or Appalachian, however you want to say it, Paracon. I'm an Appalachian girl.
You saw it? No, you didn't.
Wow,
right. Wonderful. That one's going to be super. It's going to feature a whole lot of really cool people. Some of them is going to be like, you know, our favorite crew from Mountain Monsters. Several of them are going to be there. I want to go real friggin' bad. Let's see. I know, it's not that far off, really. In Middletown, Ohio, on the 27th of April, which is a Saturday, they are doing a public daytime investigation at, get this, the Post Town Elementary School, which is fucking awesome because that school is long rumored to be super haunted. Right? And then, of course, last but not least, on the 25th, which is a Thursday, again, not in our state, but in Florence, Kentucky, they are doing the Bobby Mackey's Last Chance paranormal investigation because Bobby Mackey's is closing. They will no longer be allowing paranormal investigators at all.
At the moment, anyway.
For now.
They're not confirmed or denied, and they will reopen, but...
Oh, my TN watched this.
Yes. For now, they're done. Last chance.
Honestly, I have seen a lot of groups lately doing Bobby Mackey's.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that this really is like, this is it. This is the last chance for the foreseeable future. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's a variation there. Unless they are deciding they're going to just like literally bulldoze the place over and like make something new there. I would say that's more of a paranormal hotspot nowadays than it is a concert hall or concert venue.
I agree. I don't even necessarily think it's as much of a bar anymore as it is a paranormal place.
I live down there. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very well known in the paranormal community. And as we know, like, there's a lot of places that, whether they have the right intentions or not, make a lot of money from allowing people to go visit their places. Mm.
So, let's get right on into it. I would like to discuss Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess kind of tonight is we're going to discuss a little bit of everything about the investigation, about the building itself, about what goes into planning an investigation like this.
A lot.
It's huge. Where we plan on doing a little bit of everything and seeing what all we can get away with, not trouble-wise or breaking the rules-wise, but if you haven't heard thus far somehow, follow our Facebook page because we are going to attempt / plan on like
a live feed.
We'll see what happens.
Our beautiful / non-beautiful face.
Depending on how the connection is in certain places, we will live feed from certain places.
Yeah.
Feed and freed.
And worst case scenario is we will be live feeding from like a command center and having people rotate in. So you'll be talk to each and every one of the crew and even some of the new people that aren't even technically in the group.
But don't be offended if they don't respond if we have a chat going because they may not know what to say.
Let alone if that chat sometimes can like fly by. So they, you know, say what if you really want them to see you, say it twice.
Mm-hmm. The idea is that though with the chat, to be fair, if I was somebody that just followed along, I would almost be more interested in hearing what the new people had to say. Like, holy crap, I don't even know this, and I've never done this before.
This place is fucking scary.
Experience on it.
Right.
Which I am super interested in taking my cousins down there.
Because
they seem to be giddy as a school person. And I want to see that. Because
it's going to be fun. That's
give
for you sure.
Some energy to do. Like, all right, they're into it. Let's do this. Let's go.
So, like I said, I had pulled up some information about the history of Waverly Hills, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I pulled it straight off Wikipedia because it is the one with the most.
So you didn't go to the website?
No, because Wikipedia actually has more information about the history of the building and not just as a sanatorium. So,
well, I'll tell you what, researcher extraordinaire. Give us a 10 to 15 minute rundown to the history of the building for those people that somehow live under a rock and don't know what Waverly Hills is, but follow paranormal.
If you do not know what Waverly Hills is, I highly recommend that you look this place up because it's amazing. So it was, let's see here. Waverly Hills Sanatorium is a former sanatorium located in the Waverly Hills neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. It is roughly 8 miles outside of the center of downtown Louisville, and the current building as it stands is 180,000 square feet. Joined the National Register of Historic Places in 1983. In the early 1900s, Jefferson County, which is where they are, was ravaged by an outbreak of tuberculosis that was known at that time as the White Plague, which prompted the construction of a new hospital. The sanatorium opened in 1910 as a two-story facility able to accommodate 40 or 50 tuberculosis patients. The hospital closed in 1961 due to the success of the new antibiotic drug streptomycin in lowering the need for such facilities. At some point, plans were made to turn the abandoned hospital into a hotel, but that is no longer the case. Yes. So the land is actually known as Waverly Hill. It was purchased by Major Thomas Hayes in 1883 as a family home for the Hayes family. That's actually where he built his family home. Since the new home was far away from any existing schools, he also opened a local school for his daughters to attend. It was simply a one-room schoolhouse on Pages Lane. He hired a lady by the name of Lizzie Lee Harris as a teacher. And due to Miss Harris's fondness for Walter Scott's novels, Waverly Novels, the school became known as Waverly Schoolhouse. Major Hayes liked the peaceful-sounding name, so he named his property Waverly Hill. The Board of Tuberculosis Hospital kept the name when they bought the land and opened the sanatorium. It's not known when that they changed the spelling, but they dropped the second E, making it Waverly, R-L-Y, instead of R-L-E-Y, like it was originally. Waverly. In the early 1900s, Jefferson County was severely stricken with an outbreak of tuberculosis. There were many tuberculosis cases in Louisville, and at the time, because of all the wetlands along the Ohio River, which were perfect for the tuberculosis bacteria. They tried to contain the disease. A two-story wooden sanatorium was opened, which consisted of an administrative or main building and two open-air pavilions, each housing 20 patients for the treatment of early cases. In the early part of 1911, the city of Louisville began to make preparations to build a new Louisville City Hospital, and the hospital commissioners decided that their plans would be no provision made in the new city hospital from the admission of pulmonary tuberculosis. So the hospital was given $25,000 to erect a brand new hospital to care for the advanced cases of pulmonary tuberculosis. Basically, they didn't want the advanced cases in the main hospital because they were afraid that it was going to spread like crazy. So on August 31st of 1912, all tuberculosis patients from the city hospital were relocated to temporary quarters in tents on the grounds of Waverly Hills, pending the completion of the hospital for advanced cases. In December of 1912, the hospital for advanced cases opened for the treatment of another 40 patients, and in 1914, a children's pavilion was added with another 50 beds, making the known capacity to about 130 patients. The children's pavilion was not just for sick children, but also for the children of TB patients who could not properly care for themselves otherwise. This report also mentions that the goal was to add a new building each year to continually grow so that there were even more beds available than specifically listed. So we kind of go back in time a little bit. It says, due to constant need for repairs on the wooden structures, need for a more durable structure, as well as need for more beds so that people wouldn't have to be turned away due to lack of space, construction began on a new 5-story building that could hold more than 400 patients. That began construction in March of 1924. The new building opened October 17th of 1926, but after the introduction of streptomycin in 1943, the number of TB patients and cases gradually lowered until there was just no longer a need for such a large hospital. The remaining patients were sent to Hazelwood Sanatorium in Louisville, and Waverly officially closed in 1961. The building was reopened in 1962 as Woodhaven Geriatric Center, a nursing home primarily treating aging patients with various stages of dementia and mobility issues, as well as the severely mentally handicapped. However, Woodhaven failed greatly because it was severely understaffed and overcrowded. Woodhaven also had reports of patient neglect and was closed by the state of Kentucky in 1982. Samsonville developer, man by the name of J. Clifford Todd, bought the hospital in 1983 for about $3 million. He and architect Milton Thompson wanted to convert it to a minimal security prison for the state, but the developers dropped the plans after neighbors protested. Todd and Thomas then proposed converting the hospital into apartments, but they counted on Jefferson Fiscal Office to buy around 140 acres from them for $400,000 that would give them the money to actually start the project. That didn't happen. In March of 1996, Robert Alberhasky bought Waverly Hills and its surrounding land. Alberhasky's Christ the Redeemer Foundation Incorporated made plans to construct the world's tallest statue of Jesus on the site, along with an arts and worship center. The statue, which was inspired by the famed Christ the Redeemer in Corcovado Mountain in Rio de Janeiro, would have been designed by local sculptor Ed Hamilton and architect Jasper Ward. The first phase of development, coming in at a cost of $4 million, would have been a statue of 150 feet tall and 150 feet wide, situated on the roof of the sanatorium. The second phase would convert the old sanatorium into a chapel, theater, and gift shop at a cost of more than $8 million. The plan to construct this religious icon fell through because donations to the project fell well short of expectations. In a period of a year, only $3,000 was raised towards the project despite efforts to pull money from across the nation. The project was canceled in December of 97. Then it goes on to tell us a little bit about the tunnel. The tunnel is a passageway to transport bodies and supplies in and out of the sanatorium. It was built on the first floor with the rest of the building. The corridor is 500 feet to the bottom of the hill and has a set of stairs on one side, which were the stairs used for the workers. The other side, there was a cart that moved up and down the staircase, which transported supplies and other necessities, as well as bodies. Since antibiotics did not exist in the time that the sanatorium was active, other forms of aid were used to treat TB patients. For example, heat lamps, fresh air, and positive talk and reassurance helped to keep patients alive, since the death rate of TB patients at the time was one death per day. However, at the peak of the disease, the sight of the dead being carried away in full view of patients lowered patient morale. Therefore, the sanatorium tried transporting the bodies as secretively as possible to increase the morale and lower death rates, using the tunnel to that end. The doctors and workers of this time also believed that this would help to lower the disease spreading rate. Hence, the tunnel was known as the Body Chute or Death Tunnel by the locals and paranormal investigators who visit the sanatorium. Apart from transporting dead bodies out of the sanatorium, the tunnel also served as a temporary air raid shelter during World War II. Which that was interesting. After Alberhasky's efforts failed, Waverly Hills was sold to Tina and Charlie Mattingly in 2001. The Mattinglys hold tours of Waverly Hills and host a haunted house attraction each Halloween, which proceeds going towards restoration of the property. They're also currently restoring all the windows in this decrepit building while restoring the interior of the old sanatorium. And I did not know this. August 11th of 2007, it was actually host to a music festival called Sounds of the Underground, featuring prominent acts in the extreme metal and metalcore scene, including Job for a Cowboy, The Acacia Strain, Hatebreed, Shadows Fall, Chimera, Gwar, Cameo, Lamb of God, and Number 12 Looks Like You. neighbors complained righteously. Therefore, they vowed to never do that again. So, no more concerts at Waverly.
I mean, that would have been badass.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of big names.
To rock out and shit yourself.
And shit yourself, exactly. During...
You don't know for public questions.
Exactly. It is said that about 63,000 people passed away at Waverly Hills during the time that it was in use. Here's the shit part, though. Those are the only records that are left behind. Judging by the amount of graves and the amount where they came and took, like, censuses and whatnot, the actual number is actually probably somewhere closer to 123,000 people. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it being what it was, there's probably a lot of things there that happened also that didn't go on record as far as shit even placed on, but there was probably some grapes.
Absolutely. And
stuff like that that they didn't want on records.
Exactly. And while it was the geriatric hospital, and there were also people there who were had severe mental issues, unfortunately, they didn't treat those people well. It was definitely a place where they did like hydrotherapy, shock therapy, things like, you know, not good stuff. Not good stuff at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was not good. There was a very, very dark, dark period in that building's history.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. That was
good for us.
Right?
Let's be honest. That was a time when, you know, you're throwing many things at the wall to figure out how to try to fix this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before modern medicine, really. Like,
well, I mean, we've covered that in prior podcasts where, like, yes, you're right. Just throwing things at the wall. Like, hey, let me take the stick and jam it up into your eye socket.
Yeah.
This might fix your...
Let me just stir your brain around a tad and see what happens.
And to be fair, lobotomies did happen there.
Like, yeah. A lot. Yeah, it was...
Look.
It was a thing.
So anymore, because they're zombies. So it worked. I mean, you could even say the same thing with modern medicine. So,
I mean, yeah, that's true.
At one point in time, everything will seem archaic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, this is getting a tad off subject, but look at some of the things they did back then that you consider archaic. But and I'm not even talking about in the like ancient Egypt days where it's considered archaic now, but back then it was cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Right. I mean, that's why I'm to a degree, I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
Yeah.
50 years from now, like what we're doing is going to seem like, why were you killing people?
We're
going to
seem like cavemen. So yeah. Even though at the time we're like, we're above the curve. We're keeping up. We're passing the Joneses.
So, exactly. Some of the major events that happened there, obviously all of the deaths were very, very tragic. But they list a few of them that were, I don't know, I guess they consider them more so tragic. This one has been substantiated from what I understand. In 1928, there was a nurse who was found deceased in room 502, which is the fifth floor is the smallest floor of the building and was originally made for the children.
Yeah.
So I look forward to showing that to Joe because it is a little creepy with the shadowy spirits.
I mean, to be fair, being up there, if I remember correctly, there's only like four or five rooms up there. Outside,
yeah,
it was all like the go out on the roof and get some fun.
Yeah, because it was like an open playland for the kids.
I don't get creeped out by the dead. You get creeped out by the living.
Right, but small children shadow spirits, that gets me a little bit.
I got spanked on the butt by a fairy.
I mean, you're right.
I'm good.
You're right. Anyway, she was...
Yes, you heard me correctly.
She was 29 years old at the time of her death, unmarried and pregnant. Her depression over the situation led her to take her own life via hanging. Nobody really has any idea how long she had hung in the room before her body was discovered. And this would not be the only tragedy to occur in connection with room 502. In 1932, another nurse who worked in the same room jumped from the roof patio and plunged all five stories to her death. No one really has any idea why she did it. Some speculate that she was pushed by one of the patients, but there is no records to indicate that that is true or not. They're so... God, this place is crazy. The paranormal the Paranormal Society as a whole has done a hell of a lot of research in 502, and it does tend to be one of the more heavy and dark places in the hospital. And they think that it is because of those two nurses specifically. Yeah. There was a former staff member by the name of John Thornberry. He passed there in 2006. According to his obituary, he was born in 1922. Which would have made him 6 or 10 years old at the time of these alleged deaths in room 502. So they believe that he actually saw this shit happen. God, there's a lot. The infamy of the death tunnel, it's insane. The lobotomies, the surgical wings. It was just...
So if we nickname the place Bad Juju.
Yeah, Bad Juju. Wait. Bad Juju pretty much covers it.
Also, I did want to preface something. I forgot to do this. I'll tell you this on air. When a wave of other people called me, they asked if we wanted to walk through, I declined.
Okay, yeah.
So... Okay, I forgot to say that, and I wanted to get it out while it was in my mind, so sorry.
The only thing that I will do is we'll make a crude little map so that we know what rooms we're walking into. But that's about all I care about. I don't actually need to hear any of the hauntings. Yeah. Like, we're pretty good with all that.
I don't need to interrupt you, but if you were done.
Please, go ahead.
The reason why I declined the walkthrough is because I like to go into an investigation kind of blind.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's Waverly. You've all know Waverly and everything, but I've specifically stayed away since I've decided to go there of looking into it. Because I, like most ghost hunters, when you go into a situation and you research it, you get pigeonholed into that, I'm looking for John. And anything that happens, you automatically think it's John. I don't think any of the ghostly things that are there are actually the patients. So I'm leaving it wide open to just go in and find out what's going on.
There are stories.
Oh, I know there's stories
of specific patients. I'm not going to talk a lot about them. When this is all said and done, and we wrap things up, and we have all of our evidence, and the trip is behind us, then we will discuss that.
Right, because you know about it, and we experienced it. If we catch something, if you can back up what we saw with that evidence.
Right, exactly.
So that's, as an investigator, I like to go in knowing nothing. That way I can formulate and then do research myself and then figure out that's just how I prefer the...
Right. No, I understand completely. And I think that that's the best way to do it, because another thing, and I'm pretty sure you've talked about this in the past, Alex, where sometimes it can happen that if you go there and you already have something in your head, then you can almost make yourself think that you're seeing that. Yeah. Or connect it to that when it's not that.
When it's a maelstrom.
Right.
I hate to say it this way because I know that it's kind of a sensitive subject, but it's kind of like a lot of people that would consider themselves to have gifts, or a lot of people that research the paranormal and they have a family member die.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, the sad truth of the matter is, and it's just people looking for closure, and I understand that point, but the sad fact of the matter is, a lot of times, it is them hanging on to something that really isn't there.
Yep.
And I want to say something about that, but I'm going to not.
Crew.
We just happen to know someone who is in that exact situation. And it's unfortunately an incredibly sad story. And I do not have any idea if she listens to the podcast or not, so we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, but no, I think you're right. I've also had the same idea with it. Like, there's a lot of things that happen that get blamed on things that, not so much blamed, but I'm going to use that just because see how much time is coming to mind. There's a lot of things that happen that get blamed on something when it has nothing to do with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Since I'm a Christian, I mentioned this before, the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff he didn't do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And to me, it all comes down to stuff like, you know, like I said, there's nothing against it. But in the way that the only reason that I even brought it up is because I feel like it's kind of the same premise as going into a place and knowing a story. Right.
Right.
It's you trying to connect dots that aren't actually there.
Right. And that's kind of what I was going with when I said I like to go into nothing.
I like blank slates. Don't get me wrong. I like going in and I like taking tours of the buildings so that I know what's where.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to the first time that we went through. Like, we did do the walkthrough when we, the first time that we went down there. But, you know, that was a lot less of, hey, this is what we get here and this is what we get here, as much as, hey, this is where the tunnel is. This is where, this is the room where they did the lobotomy. You know, it was more of a tour of the building and a tour of the paranormal.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason why I declined it is because I have YouTube.
Agreed.
Yeah. And YouTube that I've already been there or been through all of it, then I would probably have to walk.
I mean, I, full disclosure here, this was like 18 years ago.
You have a good memory of your mom.
I mean, that's mostly.
Well, I have a shit memory because I'm a dad.
Thankfully, there's plenty of maps of the building available.
Yeah, that said, the blueprints are available on.
And I actually found some that I don't have to learn how to read blueprints to make sense of them.
It's just comes to worse. Yeah. If you want the walkthrough, I can always call them back and be like, hey, remember what I said I didn't? I lied.
I'm not worried about it because from what I remember of the place, when you get to those rooms, you will just know.
Yeah, So, I mean, like the surgical suites, for example, still, I at that time, I don't know if they still do, have the big massive lamps that hang from the ceiling.
Yeah. I won't say they look like surgical suites, but they definitely had indicators that, hey, this is what this room was for. Yeah. And between the mild indicators and the location of them in the building,
you're just like, made sense.
No, this is what this room was for.
But no, I literally cannot wait to get in there and start this. Like, I am chomping at the bit.
Dude, you're not kidding.
Pretty good at containing my excitement at times, but this one I'm like, get his schoolgirl with. Like, I want to do.
I internalize that shit. I ain't an animal.
One thing that I can't wait to get to do is to come back and talk about it and share it all with you guys.
Oh my God, right?
All right. We definitely will have a follow-up episode for this.
100%.
Because I've again spared no expense getting some equipment.
Yeah, not kidding. Sitting in front of me is not one, not two, not three, but there will be four brand new recording devices, plus a new FLIR.
Added on to our other two, yes.
We've got so much equipment, it's stupid. Let alone we're working with 10 stationary night vision DVR cameras and more recorders than you can shake a fucking stick at.
Yeah, and also, and I want to tell you guys this now, because I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this. I got an old Polaroid camera.
Oh, that's right. You said that was your sister's birthday gift to you.
Yes, because I was happy birthday. But still my month, still my birthday.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
I actually want to test the theory because I have a feeling if it is old ghost that died in the, 60s, 70s?
Correct.
That's all they had to pull.
So and they wouldn't know what that is.
Camera to take a photo, they might be shy because they don't know what that new fandango machine is. So if you take an older one and then it looks something similar to it, are they more, mind you, this is just a theory, but are they more susceptible to a picture or something like that? Because they recognize it as something that they have from there.
And with that said, we're also taking the cassette recorders with us.
Right. We would have to stop at like a Dodd cameras place. For those of you that aren't around the Northeast Ohio, I mean, there may be more of them around the state. I'm not sure.
Right.
But that is a very photograph specialized store.
Right.
I have some very antique cameras sitting in there on my...
Those are going to be cameras from, like, the opening of the building. Like, well, those spirits.
I have, like, 8mm hand grind, and I don't mean, like, the micro cassettes that Sony made 25 years ago. I mean, like, the reel-to-reel 8mm.
And we will be thanking our friend Drew for those ones. Yeah. Those are old family items that came directly out of his family's past that he allowed us to acquire.
And I really want to preface this point because I'm seeing all this new stuff I've come out, like the cameras and everything. We're not hunting new ghosts.
Correct.
Old ghosts.
Yeah, these folks didn't pass this past year.
Is all this new fangled technology...
We're like, hey,
is it scary? Not scaring them, but is it making them a little bit more shyer to come out because they don't recognize?
Yeah, they're like, what is that?
Well, I mean, when you're like, hey, you know, if you're here, you know,
stand in front of my camera,
the camera,
and they're like,
what the hell is that?
Like, you don't have a fucking camera. What are you talking about?
Like one of those tripod things with the hood over it.
That... Right. When I say I want to hit this thing from all angles, this is what I meant.
Yeah.
I want to hit it from all angles.
Yep.
I want to walk out of Waverly. Maybe having some evidence, but walk away with knowing that I threw everything I had at this place.
Mm-hmm. They also were very, very big about like playing upbeat music and things like that to try to like raise spirits of the patients. I think it's a great idea to use some of that old timey music as quote unquote trigger objects. Yeah.
No, I'm all for that. When I go into an investigation, I like to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do the normal shit, even though when I do an EVP, I tend to ask the whole questions, which I hate. But I like going into something, throwing everything I had in that way. I can say I have no regrets. I left nothing behind. That is why I spent the money on the FLIR camera and the other cameras and the lights and the little GoPro things, the whole steady cams and shit like that. Because I want to get the most bang for my buck. I want to know I did everything I can. And I
agree.
I know you think the same way. But yeah, I'm going to hit it from all angles.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this one. I am very much looking forward to it.
The old Polaroids. Been a while. I had to figure out how to use it again. No, it was hilarious. But it came with 8 pictures each. I got 3. I've already taken 2. So that'll give me enough. So, yeah. If there's anything... no, we'll post this in time. If there's anything you guys can think of, hit us up on Facebook.
Yeah.
So if you've got an angle or a theory that you want to throw out and want us to try, please let me
know. And I'm saying pretty immediate, like, because Thursday morning, we're heading out.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is just an idea, right? Because she threw out like the old timey music for trigger objects, right?
Old timey.
Or a record player.
Yeah.
Like one of those little record players from Walmart.
Yeah.
Like we've got the extension cords for it. Go up and play it in like the sunroof on the rooftop. Like,
oh, that'd be so neat.
Just see if anything happens.
Yeah, we're taking a video camera for that one. No, I think. I'm not a big fan of this new technology.
I mean, they're not cheap.
I'm not saying I'm against it. It's just like I want to take old time aspects to old time ghosts. Now, if right, the thing that happened in 2005, cool, take your camera, take photos of it. But something that happened in 1945 or 1960 or something like that, you got to go with that time period.
I like following along with what you're saying. I like giving yourself every opportunity to get whatever you can get.
Right.
And that kind of leads into one thing that I want to touch on is I know that Waverly is definitely one of those places where there are a few of us, at least a few of us, that at one point or another, I think plan on doing some solo investigations in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that I could say that's a great part about technology and how far it's come is that solo investigations are no longer really an issue.
No.
Yeah, that's true, because we have our walkies, we have every means to communicate with each other. We have recorders and video and audio to watch over you constantly to back up anything that you might hear or see. Yeah.
I know we've touched on them a little bit, but I don't think we've really gotten to solo investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, you two have said the only reason why you didn't do them was because you didn't have anybody to back up your phone. Right?
That was a big deal in the past, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm...
But nowadays, we have the technology to circumvent that, if you will.
Right. Yeah.
So, with that, you have all this stuff to back up your claim. What would be the point of a solo investigation? I'm asking for a devil's advocate.
My opinion is that people...
you're not really solo.
No. As far as technology goes, you're definitely not. My opinion, however, is that when you are the only living being in the room, it makes you just a little bit more approachable by certain spirits that may or may not be comfortable, you know, showing themselves in front of a crowd.
Yeah, in front of 6 people. Yeah.
Here's this is what I meant by like old time shit. If you go in by yourself and it's just you, no one else around, just you alone, and you walk in with a cell phone, a video camera, and all this other stuff, we say it now, and I want to approach that person in the bar, be it male or female, but they're on the phones, so I don't want to interrupt. Is it the same thing for them? Like, hey, I see you walk in with this handheld camera, this megaphone, this microphone, this other camera, this FLIR camera.
It's a great question that I do not have a good answer for.
I'm playing double that. People that are listening to this that have us on Facebook, please chime in with your thoughts. But is that something that will also deter them? Because you're not really approachable because you have all this extra equipment with you.
Right.
You're literally like that old-time camper walking into a shop with the clingy, clingy bags.
But at the same time, I think that we could go minimalistic with areas that we know that people are going to do solos.
Yeah.
And, you know, have our devices already set up so that the person who's doing the solo is quote unquote hands-free.
Yeah.
And I think that might help.
Correct. That and that's kind of where I want to go with it.
Yeah.
Is like.
Yeah. So to give an example regarding that, and there's a lot of what I would call spirit settling in too, right? And by that, what I mean is, so we, as you are aware, have done like the Newport Memorial Building for, right? Well, the most active time that we ever had the Newport Memorial Building is because I literally sat in there by myself with one other person for 6 hours before the investigation even started.
Okay.
So I feel like it gave whatever was there time to adjust to new people like in their area. Like I said, and I have no scientific way to back that up. It's just that I feel like the longer that you get to spend there, the more time they have to
get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
To adjust to you being there.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I said, I wasn't saying I was right or wrong whatsoever. This was an open-ended discussion. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on.
There's also, I think, some interesting questions about electromagnetic energy and the fact that we believe that the spirits interact with us by using that energy. And obviously, living beings throw off EMF also. So I am very, very curious if that in itself is the amount of energy that multiple bodies in one room throw off, as opposed to just one person being in that room, is something that can sort of, I don't know, flux the way that they absorb or use the energy that they gain. And
well,
maybe if that makes a difference.
That said, though, to Joe's point, I can't imagine that five people walking through a room gives off more EMF than, you know, the podcasting equipment that's sitting on my table right now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with that, but maybe we're thinking of it the wrong way.
Well, kind of, and this is what I kind of thought. As in life, you know, each of us, yes, we have our own inner, but we give off our own set of inner.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am an introvert and extrovert. Like, I can go in a crowd full of people and intermingle with all of them, but at the same time, kind of be like, I kind of want to get out of here. Alex, you're kind of the same way, but a little bit more introvert. Teresa, you're different.
I can be
that the nicest way possible.
I can be in a crowd and feel still completely isolated.
Right. Goes to the same way. This is a residual energy.
Right.
I use that term residual light. It's just what's left over from their body's action passing.
Right.
What if their energy was like it was in life? So in other words, Etha May, who passed away and is in the walk. She's an outgoing person. We go in there, we're quiet, we're reserved, not giving her the energy she needed in life. Therefore, mm-hmm. she's not going to give us. What if it's like that?
I get that.
So if we do a little bit of research, and this kind of goes against my original point, do a little bit of research on, let's say, the John person you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was a lively, energetic, ignorant person.
Enigmatic?
Yes. Couldn't get that out. He liked to be the life of the party. Like,
yeah.
That's a high energy person. If we go in there with high energy.
If another high energy person is there, does he interact more with it?
Take off that, like, yeah, this is my jam.
Yeah, yeah. I feel what you're saying.
So
it's interesting. That's I feel like that's also going to be the fun part of solos, right? So, like, you know, say room 502,
right?
Say five different members of us go up and cycle through that just by yourself,
right?
Like, does it respond differently to you versus me,
right?
Versus, like, you know, Ken or Matt or
right,
whoever decides to go up there and do their own thing. And to be fair, I want to preface this by saying that I will never put anybody in an uncomfortable situation.
Oh, like,
they do not want to do solos.
Right.
They do not have to do solos.
Exactly.
I have gotten to the point where I'm good with it. Like, yep,
yeah.
Cool. Send me to the death tunnel by myself. I don't care.
See, I'm at the point.
I might change my mind when I get there, but
I'm at the point.
I reserved that right.
I really don't actually care if I do solos or not.
It
doesn't matter.
I am by nature kind of a skittish person. Okay. So solos probably are not something I would very much enjoy.
I can name the people right now who are going to do the solos. One is sitting right there.
Yeah.
The other one I'm related to. Guilty. And the other one is
right. Exactly.
Matt probably will do a solo too.
I'm not a huge fan of solos. Right. For multiple reasons, I'm not. But the biggest one is that I am kind of a skittish person.
So here's, you know what? Here's what I'll say. I am not anti-skittish myself, but there comes a point where I'm actually so used to doing things like this and going to these, you know, paranormal places where I would like to push myself a little bit harder than I usually do.
That I get. I
yeah,
get that.
For sure.
Yeah. Hello, have you met me? I'm sorry to push myself, but...
So, you know, it's just one of those things for me. And to be fair, even doing normal investigation on a normal light, there are plenty of times where I feel like I get more activity, you know, when it's just, you know, later on in the evening and it's me and Joe or me and Teresa, like by ourselves versus like...
There's one of those loud bikes we were talking about.
His stereo was louder than the bike. What kind of bike am I?
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I've always felt like you get more with two people than you get with seven people.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Kind of the idea of me going into like a solo. Like, A, I'm uncomfortable. B, it might be more comfortable. And, you know, C, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if I'm uncomfortable and I get skittish, did I also catch something?
Right. Well,
to yes, where I have a reason to be uncomfortable.
That goes back to our conversation previously in another podcast where the body lets you know the fascination with fear.
One right. Minute,
where your body will let you know something. Why am I feeling like everything?
Right.
There's a black mass coming toward me right there.
I should probably spit it out.
Or is it just the fear of the unknown?
Yeah.
Or is it just because I'm in a pitch black fucking tunnel that's 500 feet long that I can't see the end of?
Right.
And like my brain is just overworking itself.
Which, for those of you listening right now, welcome to our porch talk. This is where I ask questions to Alex and Teresa. We're not ready for it. Now I got Alex's brain working.
I mean,
to be fair, that was the original idea for the podcast by itself.
Right,
so,
you know. Right. But no, and as far as like scheduling goes, like I told these guys earlier, I have set up a schedule where we're going to rotate people, have an hour in between each rotation, and then set up time for solos later, and maybe a snack break here or there, because we're all grown as adults and we get hungry. But
we snack.
Yeah, let's eat this.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, planning into an investigation like this is insane. And I'm glad we actually gave ourselves enough time to plan for it.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting till last second to get it all done.
And theoretically, there's only so much that you can plan for, too.
Right. And then you just got to get down there and do it.
But like, you know, I got your text the other day about the initial setup and the planning and like these are the groups, yada, yada, yada. And like, so planning for the initial setup of, you know, the equipment and like this group's going to do this and this group's going to do this and this group's going to do this. Like that is definitely something that can be planned for. And it's a great idea to plan for it.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe is very used to helping me be the equipment setter upper. He is the, you know,
apprentice.
He's definitely the apprentice here as far as like, nope, Joe knows how to stop the cameras with me. He's done it almost every time.
Yep. I'm the go-between.
You know, you and I taking your nephews around and, you know, seeing how they respond to the building.
Yep.
That's great. My wife is very in tune with like the history of the place.
Yeah.
Like having her walk with the ladies and like, okay, this is where we're going to go first. This is where we're going to go, you know, to kind of set up some of that planning. Great. You know, Ken and Matt and them like walking around getting like a baseline reading.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That said, once the investigation kicks off and the lights go out, you don't really know how other people are going to respond.
Oh, exactly.
So the initial setup, I don't want to misconstrue anybody here. Like the initial setup is really the only thing that you could set up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes on with the whole realize the plan, make the plan, step C, throw away the plan.
Right.
Because that's what's going to happen. Like this is just pre-planning stuff of us getting ready for stuff. And yes, you're absolutely correct. I'm planning for what I can actually control.
Right.
The stuff I can't control, I can't do anything with that until it happens.
Right. And that said, we've given the listeners hear a fraction of the equipment that we have. Yeah, Joey's been at my house all day. And you know what? One whole ass day before you go to a big place like this is plugging everything in, making sure everything's charged, making sure everything works the way you want it to work.
Making sure everything has a memory card, that the memory cards are empty and ready to go. Making sure you have...
The memory card in your camera has night vision, which I did find out.
Exactly. Make sure we got plenty of AA and AAA because we're going to need them.
Yeah. Yeah. So step one, make the plan. Step two, make sure your equipment is charged. Step three, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's it. That's all I require for plan.
Yeah. There's not really a whole lot left after all that.
No.
So our group, as you know, has like a core of like four members, five members ish.
Two of them you don't hear from much. But
we're literally taking.
Don't worry. They still love you.
We're literally taking 11 people with us. Our group has a core of the equipment. I literally sent out a text message today saying, hey, anybody else that's coming, if you want to bring stuff for your own personal stuff, the only thing that you should worry about bringing is, you know, a camera and a recorder if you want it. And to be fair, your phone can be used for that. I'm not asking you to go buy equipment.
Actually, I'll even preface it by saying this. I actually like the recorder on the phone because mm-hmm. you can see the things move on it. And it kind of lets you know you can see it without hearing it. But my cousin did say that she might have a ghost box.
Oh, that'd be neat.
So I told her, she's like, I don't know if you guys want to use this. I'm like, well, they're loud and kind of annoying sometimes. But yeah, go ahead and bring it. We'll see what we can do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a monster fan of the ghost boxes that do the...
Bring the ghost box.
Right, exactly.
It's something that I don't hate. All right. It's just not something that I'm going to sit in a room with for 30 minutes.
Right.
Like, I think that they are...
give me a headache and 10.
Exactly. I think that they are incredibly useful, and I think that it's entirely possible that they do work.
Yeah.
But I think that a little bit of that comes with audio pareidolia as well.
Hence the reason, shout out to George Brown Labs.
Exactly.
The one piece of equipment that we don't have that I really want is a geoport.
Yes, geoport. Now, the beautiful thing about a geoport, too, though, yeah, exactly. I want a hot dog real bad.
That's what I was going with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that's the approach we kind of took to it. And doing that with a full-time job where you work all day is kind of difficult at times. But as of all, it's something we got to do.
Yes, yeah. This is grown-up life.
No, I would say if I had any goals for us to have by next year, a geoport.
Oh, yeah.
And one engraved with our logo on it, because he makes those things custom.
Friggin' cool.
If I could have got it in time, almost had an actual tote bag with our logo.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But they weren't going to have another time.
I get that.
So.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff I'd like to have, but I mean, yeah. And just for everybody who's curious, no, we don't charge money. Even private investigations, we don't charge money. As a matter of fact, we pay money to go to these places.
A lot of time.
And some of it is a very, very significant amount of money, you know.
Yes.
All this equipment is purchased with money out of our pockets. This stuff's not donated. This stuff is not gifted, aside from, you know, a couple of really, really old cameras from Drew.
It is, however,
it is a tax write-off, yes. When we eventually go LLC, which we have not yet. Because that costs money too, guys, just so you're all aware. So yeah, this is a very, very expensive hobby.
It's a professional hobby.
That's why I call it a professional hobby, because it costs money.
We've said it before. This isn't a hobby you get into to make money or save money.
No.
And if you do, you're in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is something you get into because you love doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't love doing it and you're just going at it for the money, yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. At this point, we're sitting back, and don't get me wrong, we love every follower we have. And I noticed that there's more and more of you out there. So I super appreciate you guys.
I get just downright giddy every time I see that number jump.
But the thing is, like, we, even at this point, don't have enough followers to even worry about like a Patreon or so. Like, this is literally all coming out of our pocket. Like,
right.
There's no funding for this. There's no crowdfunding.
I mean, there may be a day and age where, you know, we have, you know, a couple thousand listeners and we're like, hey, let's throw up a Patreon for some special equipment or something. You know, hey, guys, we're trying to save for this, or, you know,
It's called sweat blood.
That's exactly right. And that's not to say that we, you know, we'll never take a donation. It's just not something we care about. We do this because we love it. It doesn't have anything to do with money.
We're going to do this and we're going to share it with you whether we have money or not.
Maybe one day.
It's quite honest with you. For me, it's not about the money. Like,
at all.
You saw it's me really not. Like, Alex, you walked in with me. I blew almost $300 on a camera just because we needed it. Like, yeah, to me,
it was a moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, sure, we needed that.
Yeah, no, that. Hello, that's me. But no, it's something that we needed and something that I knew was going to actually be better in the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I just had a ball just dumped in my lap. But
she's cute.
It's, you realize doing this upon doing so many investigations that there's sometimes you go into it and you're like, we are woefully under scale for what we need.
Such as 180,000 square foot building.
Yes. Boy, I can't
wait to see the look on Joe's face when we pull up. I only hope it's the same look that I have on my face the first time we pulled up.
Oh, man.
I was the only tech guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? Was back in a day and age before DVR for wireless, right?
Well, running wires. So, very uncool. Yeah,
I pulled up and I was like, oh god,
you're in trouble.
This was a day and age where, you know, every hour and a half to 2 hours when everybody goes to take a break and do snacks.
Yeah.
I'm not, because I'm moving cameras on different floors, because that's all the further the wire.
Moving cameras, changing batteries, changing tapes.
Again, this goes back to my original premise of planning. Why do you think I won't take my cousins?
There you go. Make the young ones do the running for us.
I have been in this building. To be fair, we've hunted this building one time before. What that means is I've been in this building 5 times by myself, which is also one of the ways that I could tell you that solo investigations here might be fruitful.
Well, no, I wasn't saying that. I was playing devil's advocate.
Right? I've been in the building by myself. All right. I got a lot more by myself, just changing tapes off of my high eight.
But to my cousins who I know are listening to this podcast, and will probably listen to it before we actually go, be ready to go.
Nothing's free.
and hello, cousins of Joe's. Thank you for coming with us. I appreciate you. And boys, put on your running shoes.
I am so excited, and I plan on having a good time, and I hope everybody has a good time. And I know they will. So it's,
well, like I said, originally when I decided to do Waverly, again, you heard on a podcast, that was the first time I brought it up to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
On the spur of the moment. Hello, it's me.
Like, this is what I want.
This is kind of how I operate. I told him that, but then I was like, all right, I want to pick a crew that has experience and not experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the experienced people that we have going, sometimes you know this as a ghost hunter, you get bought that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, oh, man, I got to do this 8-hour investigation. This ping. Yeah, I'm excited to do it, but I've done. If you bring new investigators, they kind of energize you because they're so giddy, like, let's go. It's like,
yeah, you get that
feed off
that breath of fresh air.
Just like I was saying about the ghosts in there, they feed off that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cousins, I'm not bringing you along to be fodder, but I'm just saying your energy here will be infectious to us.
Exactly.
So it's like, that's kind of what I wanted. And another point, I forgot it.
Well, here's the one thing that I can say about the field itself that I appreciate. All right. When it comes to paranormal investigations as a hobby, either you are all the way in or all the way out. Either you are all the way interested or not interested. I'm not fucking going. You guys go ahead and do
thing. Yeah, I don't actually know anybody who sits on the fence. You're either all in or you're all out.
Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't get to a place and somebody that thought they were all in was like, oh, this is what I realized. I fucked up.
Should have bought my brown pants.
This is when you realize.
Well, you know, whether they, you know, decide they're in over their heads or not, there's that excitement about just being there.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, and let's not forget also our old boss, Liz. I'll put you to work too because you made me rewrite that one bridge. So I'm going to put you to work.
I love that.
But yeah. No, I'm straight looking forward to this. Like, I cannot express to you how much I'm looking forward to it. So
I think it's going to be an absolutely amazing time. Is
waking up that early in the morning because I'm a night person. So.
Oh, dude. So that's actually going to suck. It's going to be a really, 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 really long day. Like, we have 5.5 hours drive time, get everybody together. We got to go up to Cleveland to get Ken, get back here before noon, get everything packed and ready to go, last minute checks.
Well, and then I have to wake up. I have to go pick up the rental car, which I have to have you take me to do. I have to get Ken back here by noon and have the car loaded by noon.
For a 5.5 hour drive.
That's why I'm going to have my nephew come to my house at 8. We're going to pick up my cousins at 9. So we can be here to help you look.
Right. No, it's just one of those things. And then don't take me as being like down in the dumps about all.
Oh gosh, no, it's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like taking a vacation. You gotta pack.
When you do shit like this, you've already assigned to yourself like not like. Yeah, I'm literally driving in Kentucky, and I'm driving back in the morning. Like, I'm not getting any sleep for like 2 days.
Tomorrow, I'm going to bed. First time I've done this in a while, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock.
Dude.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm going to nap all day and then still go to bed at 8 o'clock. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do what I normally do, and because of my job, I don't get off until 12:30 a.m. or something around there, or 1 o'clock. I'm not going to stay up till like 2:30 or 4. No, I'm going to bed.
Yeah,
I don't need it. I'm giving everything one last once over. I'm going to have everything packed up in the totes that we have and the boxes that we have, ready to fucking just load in the car the next day.
And then away we go. But yeah, then the crazy drive. And then we check in and have an entire night running 180,000 square feet.
Yep. That said, if any of our listeners are in Kentucky, and I know that a few of you are, if you can recommend any good places to eat in Louisville.
Yeah.
I would say try to have those posted to our Facebook page by about, well, as soon as you can, but no later than like midnight tomorrow
night. I'm going
to just message somebody and be like, hey, this is where we're going to meet for.
I'm going to go ahead and pose another one to you. If we have any listeners in the Louisville area, right around Dixie Highway, right off the expressway, come and eat dinner with us.
I'm not ready.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Come hang out.
You go see some shocked people.
we would absolutely love to meet you, and we'll post wherever it is that we're going to be eating as soon as we know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would say definitely follow our Facebook page. Well, if you haven't tried to check out our YouTube page, because I don't know yet, depending on like what equipment works where and whatnot, I don't yet know where we're going to stream. I'm going to try to stream it on our Facebook page just because I feel like that's the easiest. But, whenever I can get to work, really.
I got to read up on this camera, too, because the camera lot about it. So, Sony, shout out to Sony. Sponsor us.
Sony, we love you!
I play PlayStation also. But it you can actually stream it. So, I'm wondering if I can hook that. I'll have to research it if I can hook it up and stream it from that kind of thing. So,
Keep in mind, too, though, even if all else fails and we don't have the ability to stream as much as we would like to, all of that video content is still going to be loaded up to YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we do have some better grade cameras that we bought specifically for this because one of our members is kind of like
the camera guy,
and I do plan on like kind of editing an episode.
Yeah. I need to get more memory cards. That just reminded me. Sorry. See, still stuff to do.
Always stuff to do.
Never ends.
Welcome to adulthood.
We really do need like at least 3 or 4 more memory cards.
Sad but true.
All right, but we're getting off topic. Sorry.
Yeah. We'll see you in the morning.
One important thing to do is be aware of whatever equipment you go out and get. Yes. All right. And what I mean by that is like I've literally bought memory cards for my audio recorders that I did not realize my audio recorders, they were too big for my audio recorders.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, we need all the space we can get. And my audio recorder didn't support a memory stick that big.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no, I can't hold one like that. And we're like, well, shit.
Yeah. Because you think of electronic equipment, you can take whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Just like a fucking external 2 terabyte hard drive to it. It'll work. No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no.
I can't handle this.
Sorry. But yeah, so. Yeah, unless you guys had anything further to add, I think that's kind of our episode for the night.
Yep.
I don't think that I have anything else to discuss.
I do not.
So, yeah.
I would just like to say, Kentucky, we love you. And if any of our listeners are down there, again, feel free to hit us up.
Oh, yeah.
We'll meet you for dinner. We don't care.
Yeah, give us some tips.
Let's hang out. Yeah, we totally want to know where to eat because, like, we're going to be, like, famished after such a long morning.
And after that, this coming up next month or so, you know, we have a more open schedule. We don't really have any big investigations going on right after this anyway. You know, if you're going to like a Parapsycon or one of these paranormal conventions like in our area, let us know. Maybe we'll come meet you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we might not set up a booth yet, but we'll come hang out and meet you.
One day. Maybe one day we'll have, you know, booth space and stuff like that. But yeah.
Well, but again, that costs money.
Yeah. Money that we don't have yet, guys.
That costs money, and I don't have the money for t-shirts to sell at a booth.
Exactly. And no, I'm not telling you to send us money. Don't send us any money. We don't need your money. We're good. We just want you to be our fan.
Yeah, we're independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, you know, we'll come meet you. We'll come meet you at a con, but
yeah, we'll hang out. We don't want you to don't
get our table.
Yeah. Don't go like, you know, sending PayPal money or anything. Like, we're good. We're good.
Yep. So, I believe that's it, ladies and gentlemen.
That is it. You guys can always reach us on X at No Lights Para. You can reach us on Facebook at No Lights Paranormal and NoLightsParanormal@gmail.com.
Yep. And as always,
we love you. We'll see you next week. And don't fuck with the Baba Yaga.
Mm-hmm.
You're recording.
Unless you're taking it away, really.